I'm Dan Marcus. On the phone with me right now, I'm thrilled to talk with Bob Cowsill of the Cowsills. How are you, Bob?
Hi, Dan.
The occasion for the call is we want people to know about this new Christmas EP from your group, the Cowsills. It's called A Christmas Offering from the Cowsills. And to put this in context, this is the band. You were a member of the band that did songs like The Rain, the Park, and Other Things, the Flower Girl song, Hair,
yep.
Love American Style, We Can Fly. I mean, just a slug of hits in the 60s. You've been out on the Happy Together tour, and now you're releasing a Christmas EP with three beautiful songs on it. Tell me about this, especially the main song, which is Christmastime Song for Marissa, right?
Yep.
Okay.
It's got a subtitle. Yes, it does. You know, that was a melody. That song was a melody for 11 years. We could not put lyrics to it that made any sense. And so I had decided that I wrote an instrumental, you know, Wipeout, Pipeline, and Song for Marissa. So it had no title for all those years. It just sat.
Okay.
And when our daughter was born, Marissa, she was very sick and wasn't going to make it. She did make it.
Oh.
And at the time, I thought, you know, I'm going to give her this melody. We'll call it Song for Marissa, and maybe it'll inspire her to fight and all that business thinking that you do as struggling parents when your kid's sick. And so it stayed that way. And my put hum it to her, you know, on her little NICU pod. Years after that, it hit me in a car in August in L.A., 110 degrees out, that melody was a Christmas melody.
Really?
This is the truth, yes. And I came home and said, this is a Christmas melody. And my wife Mary Jo and I, in no time, wrote those lyrics. And it just took off, and we finally got to record it over a number of years still. And finally at Rumbo, when we brought our little choir together and got it done, and thought, wow, we got a Christmas carol. Because you can't, in our opinion, you don't go to the office to write a Christmas carol. You can't do that. They
right.
have to appear.
Yeah. Yeah.
The music has to be Christmas. The words have to be. So many are pop melodies with words of Christmas. Anyway, we discovered this is a Christmas carol. When Omnivore Recordings, our record company, heard this last year, they said, this is top shelf. They wanted to put it out last year, but we said, we better wait. So it's out this year. We're going to go in and do a Christmas album. We've never done one, so next year we'll have it out again with a, you know, what Christmas comes every year.
Right.
So we're very excited about this. It's Christmas time song for Marissa, and we just we're so excited that finally we figured this song out, and it ended up being a Christmas carol. That was a big gift.
The notes I have on the song is that the melody was written in the late 70s, the lyrics were added in 86, and it was recorded in 92, and it's being released in 2023.
You believe that? What a history of a song. But some songs are like that. I mean, I've written songs in 15 minutes,
yeah.
But this was not a struggle. It was just an acceptance. You said, hey, look, that's an instrumental. I wrote an instrumental. Go me. But then it becomes
well,
this.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, who knew? And we all found out together. And boy, when the record company heard it and thought, this is really the real deal, then now you're really grateful and you get some help and it's a broader release. We can bring it to people. It's very exciting. And it's digital. We're so contemporary. It's streaming.
Did you record it digitally or was this, you know, on the home 8-track?
No. We recorded this major studio recording. But you know how they do it now. A lot of people just want to buy music. And this is all going to stop December 26th. So we were fine with digital. It does get the word out. You can get it on the radio and on the podcast.
Yeah.
And we're very excited about just introducing it this year even. It's very exciting.
Well, you mentioned the podcast. I wanted to, because our time is limited, so I'm going to fast forward here a little bit. Tell me about the podcast.
Well, of course, it was the pandemic, and no one's doing anything. And our executive producer of our projects, Rock Positano, said to us, you should do a podcast. And we're going, with three hosts?
You know, right.
We didn't really know much about it. But we're 116 episodes in. Every Wednesday, Thursday, a new episode comes out every week. And we have great guests. These histories are rich. They're in their own words. Anywhere from Pat Boone to Steve Van Zandt to Bangles to Wilson Phillips. Anyway, everyone's there. as you can imagine. So it's quite the library, and we still are actively involved in doing that and really enjoy it. That's a new experience.
You mentioned the three hosts. For the record, for those who don't know, the Cowsills is a real life, grew up together in Newport, Rhode Island family, and three members, you, your brother Paul, and your sister Susan, are the three members, the co-hosts of the podcast, and you're also right. The ones that are out there on tour. And, you know, not only do you guys have brilliant harmonies to the point where I'm jealous, because I can't carry a tune. I am tone deaf.
But look at your talent. You're helping us. We all help each other. It's incredible. Well, I love this.
You're kind to say that. The councils have given so much. We've talked a couple of times over the years, and this is the first time I've had a chance to talk to you, knowing about the documentary on Amazon Prime. That stunned me, Bob. It stunned me.
Thank you. It took a long time to do that, obviously. We shut it down for 2 years because we didn't really know where we were getting ourselves into, but we learned they're like psychiatric sessions. It's weird. But there's our story. You know, that's our story, and it's up there on Amazon. It's been out. Showtime ran that for 2 years straight, every single day on multiple Showtime channels.
Wow.
It struck a nerve. And Louise Palanker is to thank for that. She pushed me. She nagged me. She wouldn't give up, because I was going to Paul and Susan and my brother John when he was with the Beach Boys, you know. Yeah. He's the drummer. Not anymore. He just left them. And he's, by the way, on this Christmas project with us, but...
Well, and he brought a member of the Bangles with him, if I recall correctly.
Oh, yeah. John married Vicky of the Bangles, and we have Vicky and Michael Steele on Christmas time in our Christmas choir.
Awesome.
They both joined us there with some other guests that we had for the background.
When the Cowsill family gets together for Thanksgiving, I assume you do. I just don't argue with me. You do. In my mind, you do. Do you guys just sit around the cranberry sauce and harmonize, or what?
No, you're right. We do. Actually, we went to Paul's in Oregon, all of us, everybody, one Christmas. So, you know, someone can throw up the rally pole, and that's the house, okay? But no, we're very typical. We don't really sing around the table or anything at Thanksgiving. We might have a gig the next night, you know, that's for sure.
You're right.
But,
yep.
Yeah.
Let me circle back to the Amazon Prime documentary for a second, because I can't mention that without saying that I was stunned at all the, excuse my language, crap the family went through behind the scenes, and nobody knew then. Nobody knew then.
No, that wouldn't happen today, obviously. But back then, you could control your image. You could control what you put out. And everyone looked at us and said, that's a family I want to be in.
Yes.
I want to be in that family.
We
heard that a lot. Of course, we're standing there going, no, you don't. But, you know, they don't know. And that's okay. Because we know what they want to be, a member of the group and the singing and the traveling. And all of that is truth. As a family, touring was the best thing, still is, that we do. We love touring and performing in shows. We've done it since we were preteens.
Yeah.
And it's a bonding experience with a live audience that we just love so much.
Your sister, Susan, tells me the story that when you're out on the Happy Together tour, you lead off all five or six acts. You're the opening act, so that you can stand on the side of the stage and watch all the other ones and take it all in.
It's true that we do our set, and then we stand there, because every summer some different groups run. Last summer we had Little Anthony, and we had never seen him. We just marvel at the songs. Look, the songs carry the whole tour. The songs carry all of this. And so we marvel, and, you know, we're standing there with the same memories as everybody else in the audience. You know, we were colleagues, our group and our audience. We were the same age. You know, and our mom was there for the moms. So we're a very special connection, our audience and us. And the fact that we still get them out there, and on that tour especially, we see about, you know, 200,000 people before that 60 cities is up. It's very special. And now we can meet and greet them. Back then, audience went home, you went home. You got a Teen Mag, or somebody got on Ed Sullivan. That was it. Or came to your town. That was it.
Yeah.
So now we get to hear stories, share stories, and there are some stories. Oh, my gosh.
I think that it's marvelous that you're still so into it. And you can see that in every performance that I've seen you do. You're just thrilled to be performing.
It's a joy. Yeah, it's a joy. And anyone that does it understands what we're saying. It's just a unique thing we got to experience in on the world here, that we got to be that, an act on stage with an audience, and there's nothing like that relationship.
But you guys own that. You absolutely own that. The thing about the Cow Sills that I've always liked is that you not only have super harmonies, which everybody knows, but nobody realizes that you're singing parts. And there are very few bands. The Turtles, Spanking Our Gang, Simon and Garfunkel were great at part singing, and you're right there with them on that.
When you have voices that you can treat as instruments and arrange like instruments, in fact, through our career, you got to be careful with that, because voices occupy the same space as strings and violins and some of the other things that you have on your record. You got to be careful. But you do a cappella, you're loose in the candy field. It's like whatever you want, whatever you can come up with.
Yeah.
It's a voice.
Yep.
It's three voices, four voices. So it's pretty cool.
Bob Cowsill, The Cowsills, the name of the Christmas album, and I want to circle back to that because it's a wonderful Christmas EP. It's a Christmas offering from The Cowsills. Bob, where is it available?
Omnivore Recordings, Cowsills Facebook, cowsill.com, and any of the streaming and digital services. It'll be out there.
My very best to you and to Paul and to Susan, and thank you for all
thank
the music
you.
Over the years, Bob, and continued good luck. If I can do anything for you, I don't know what it'd be, but all you got to do is ask. You've got my number.
I got it right here, Dan. Thank you so much, and to all the listeners out there, to them too. They're very important. Thank you for everything.
Thank you for
all right, Dan.
Take care, Bob.
Have a good day.
Have a good day.
Thank you
too.
So much.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Bob Cowsill of The Cowsills. Again, the Christmas EP is a Christmas offering from The Cowsills. It is well worth your time, especially the single off of it, which is called Christmas Time, Song for Marissa. And be sure to listen to their version of Winter Wonderland. Extraordinary. The a cappella version? Man. The Cowsills, have a great Christmas.